الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم أما بعد فعن أنس رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من نسي صلاة فليصلها إذا ذكرها ولا كفارة لها إلا ذلك رواه البخاري رحمه الله تعالى Our discussion with regards to acquiring the awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala still remains incomplete. However, because yesterday was the 27th night of Ramadan, the dua after the Khatm al-Quran took place in which we all repented to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from our sins. And generally, throughout the month of Ramadan, we are given the tawfiq by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to repent from our sins. When a person repents from his sins, then he feels that a burden has been lifted up from his shoulders, and he should do so. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the hadith al-Qudsi, أَنَا عِنْدَ ظَنِّي عَبْدِي بِي I deal with my servant according to his thought regards me. If he does dua and he does tawbah with a firm conviction that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive me, then I will forgive him. If his tawbah and istighfar is half-hearted, then I will also deal with him in the same manner. So we should have hopes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that if we had made tawbah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive our sins. Why not? And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forgiven our sins, then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, At-ta'ibu mina dhambi kamal la dhambalah. The one who repents from his sin is like that person who has no sin. He has a clean plate. The one who repents from his sins and his sins are accepted, his tawbah is accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he has a clean plate. He now is starting a fresh life, a new start. So we have hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, there are certain actions and certain sins and certain violation of the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for which tawbah is not enough. A person has to do certain actions and adopt certain methods to make up for the mistake that he carried out. In these a few minutes, I would just like to mention a few of these common acts where tawbah is not sufficient. We have to go out of our way and make up for these actions or these wrongdoings that we have done. One example of this is if a person has missed his salah in the past. So you have a person who, for example, he's 25 years old, and from the age of 14 when he became baligh, he used to perform his salah on and off, as is generally the case. He used to perform his salah on and off, and last night or this year in Ramadan, or just say, 6 months ago, he had a change in his life. And since then, he has been performing salah regularly, 5 times a day. And if he ever misses his salah, he reads it straight away. This happens to many people. Some people at the age of 30, some people at the age of 40, some people at the age of 50, sometimes at the age of 60, a person, he makes a positive change in his life and he starts becoming particular in his salah due to listening to someone's bayan or going for jama'at or for whatever reason. And he makes his positive change in his life. He does tawbah and istighfar. So the sin of missing the salah, this sin is off his head. However, to complete his tawbah, he still needs to make up for this salah. Just doing tawbah is not good enough. If you have missed 100, 200, 500, 1,000, 2,000 salah in the past, in your past life, then you have to start making up for them. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said in a hadith, that person, man nasiya salatan, the one who forgets his salah, falyusalli ila idha dhakaraha. Now one way of forgetting is that he becomes oblivious of his salah. Sometimes it so happens. The time changes, summertime, winter time. And a person, the time changes and he doesn't realize. He's following a certain routine as far as his salah is concerned. So he forgets that salah time has come. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, now the time is finished. Falyusalli idha dhakaraha. Once he remembers, then he should perform his salah. وَلَا كَفَّارَةَ لَهَا إِلَّا ذَلِكَ This is a riwayah of Sahih Bukhari narrated by Hazrat Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu. There is no other option for him. He can't give fidya. You know how a person, he cannot fast, then he can give fidya to make up for this fast. If he cannot fast and he's, for example, a really old man. But if a person, he misses his salah in the past, then he cannot give some monetary donation to make up for these missed salah. He has to read every single one of them. Some people, they come and say that the hadith says that a person who carries out one act in the month of Ramadan, or leave that to one side. If you go to Makkah Mukarrama and you perform one salah, it's equivalent to 100,000. So I only have 1,000 for salah, so let me go there and do one qadha, inshallah, my whole account will be clear. It's not that straightforward and easy. If it was, then everyone would have taken this option. I can't read the whole Quran, so I just read Surah Ikhlas 3 times. And the ustad will ask me after Ramadan, how many khatams did you do? I asked you before Ramadan, you have to do minimum 5. So now he's on the 29th night, I've only done 1, there's 4 left. What should I do now? There's not enough time. So he just reads Surah Ikhlas 4 times, 3, 12 times. Ustad will ask him, how many khatams did you do? I done 5. It's not that straightforward. If you read Surah Ikhlas 3 times, alhamdulillah, you will get the reward for it. This is a supplement. You know, you get the supplement, dietary supplements. You know, when people go to the gym and they have certain supplements, or a person, he has less vitamin D, so the doctor will give him a supplement. So this is a supplement. It's to make up for it. You can't just... Someone, you know, they say that this is enough for your daily calorie intake. Now the doctor's not going to say to you that you just keep eating this. If somebody carried on eating this and he never took a staple diet, he'd end up in his grave very soon. So Surah Ikhlas 3 times, going to Makkah Mukarramah, you'll get the reward of 100,000 salah. So a person thinks that I read 1 salah in Makkah, now for the rest of my life, chutti. It doesn't work like that. So you have to perform each and every salah that you missed. If a person misses his salah, he has to make up for it. In another hadith in Sunan Nasa'i, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asked by a sahabi that if a person misses his salah, he becomes neglectful of his salah, he falls asleep, he doesn't wake up, what should he do? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that when he wakes up, he should make up for it. When he wakes up, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the battle of Khandaq, he missed approximately 5 salah because of the intensity of the battle that was taking place. After the battle was finished, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he made up for those salah. And there is no limit number that if you have 100 salah, then you have to make up for them. And if you have 200, then it's okay, doesn't matter, it's maaf. In the books of ahadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has not made mention of anything of this sort. You will find people who will say to you, and you may hear people on videos on YouTube and this and that, that if a person, he does tawbah, and now he can make a new start. He doesn't need to worry about the salah that has passed. The A'imma Arba'a, Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam Shafi'i, Imam Malik, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, according to all 4 of them, any person that misses his salah, he has to make up for his salah. So if we have made tawbah, alhamdulillah, Allah will forgive us. But from today, we have to start. We go to an alim first, a scholar, and do our hisab, account. Obviously, you can't be, nobody keeps a record of the salah he missed. So he doesn't know for sure, but he will show you that you can make a rough estimate. And if you see that it's a big number, 5,000, how am I going to make up for it? We have to make a start somewhere. Allah will make it easy for us. The fuqaha ahnaf have mentioned that a person should make this intention that every day. So now he has made tawbah. So from tomorrow, he's not going to miss salah. And if he is, or if he does, then he should make up that for that straight away. So he's got an extra 100 or 200 or 5,000 from behind. So every day with his 1 farz salah, he should read 1 qadha. So with his fajr, after fajr you can't read qadha, after the sun rises. With his zuhr, after his zuhr, so a person who has qadha on his head, he should not spend his time reading nawafil. He should first finish his qadha and then he should start reading nawafil. So you have a person who has qadha salah on his head and he's reading tahajjud and he's reading awabin. This is not the correct approach. He needs to first finish off what is on his head, then he should start reading awabin and tahajjud. Yes, if he reads a small amount to keep the practice, that's a different case. So with his dhuhr, 1 dhuhr that he missed from the past, this is just a basic masail. There are other intricate masail as far as the qadha umri is concerned. This is just the basics. Asr, he should make up. With maghrib, he should make up 1. The fuqaha have mentioned that if a person, he makes his intention and he starts this, then inshallah it is hoped in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that even if he does not finish off, just say there's a person 60 years old And from the age of time he became baligh, he wasn't punctual in his salah. Now he has a long list of salah to make up for. He may not live that long to make up for all of these salah. But if he starts somewhere, and he starts doing this 5 a day, 6 a day, 8 a day, somewhere, whenever he can get time, and he starts performing his salah, if he passes away in this state, it is hope in the mercy of Allah that Allah will forgive him. But if he doesn't even read, he doesn't make an effort, and he takes it lightly, that I forget the past, let's start afresh from now, he will be questioned as far as the salah in the past are concerned. So this is one. Similarly, fast. If a person, he missed any fast, many people, unfortunately, when they are irreligious, not religious, they do not fast. Or sometimes a person, he breaks a fast intentionally. He needs now to go to a mufti and speak to him and find out what is the way to make up for this fast that he has broken or this fast that he has not kept. Women folk in our homes, sometimes in certain days of the month, they cannot fast. And many women in this regard, they are very lazy. After Ramadan comes, I will keep it next week, the week after, after a few months when the rozas become a bit short, and slowly, 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 the years of years upon years of fast start to gather. And then she sees in front of her, I have to keep 60 fasts, and if they find it too hard. So if we have missed our fast in the past, then our tawbah, inshallah, will relieve us of the sin. But to complete our tawbah, we need to make up for these fasts that we have missed. If we have broken a fast, then this is a very dangerous situation. So we have to visit a mufti and explain our situation to him, how we broke our fast, why we broke our fast, what condition we were in, and they will give us guidance in this regard. Similarly, if a person, he had to give sadaqatul fitr, and he did not give it, sadaqatul fitr, the sadaqah which is given before the day of Eid, or on the day of Eid, and he has not given it, he did not even know what sadaqatul fitr was for the last 10 years, he needs to make up for this. If a person was in a position that he had to do qurbani, he had to do the animal sacrifice in the days of Hajj, on the day of Eid, and he didn't do it, he also has to make up for this. He has to make up for this qurbani. So these are a few acts that a person has to make up for just for his tawbah to be complete. Similarly, if we have violated the right of anyone else, so whatever sins we have done which are connected or between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah our tawbah will wipe out those sins. But if we have violated the right of anyone else, our tawbah is not complete until we do not give that right back to that person. If I have borrowed a pen from somebody, if I have borrowed £100 from somebody, if I have taken a loan of £1,000 from someone, and I've got the money to pay him back, but he's forgotten. He doesn't come to ask me for the pen or for whatever, if it's something small, or even if it's a certain number of dollars. And I have this with me, I have not given it back to him, my tawbah is not complete. I need to give back his right to him. If we have stolen from somebody, we have to give it back to them. Otherwise, our tawbah is incomplete. Because this is the right of the servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if we have violated anyone's right as far as any monetary right is concerned, we have backbited about someone, we have spread rumors about someone, we have slandered someone, we have hurt somebody's feelings, then for our tawbah to be complete, we have to make up for this. One mas'ala in which people are very negligent is the mas'ala of inheritance. The mas'ala of inheritance, people are very negligent in this regard. They do not distribute the inheritance according to the sharia. Many a times you have the older son in the house, he lives with the parents, and as soon as the father passes away, he takes the house and whatever is along with it under his control. And he does not give the right to his brothers, to his sisters, and those who are under him. Yes, he lived with his parents, and he done his khidmah, he will get the ajr for that by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the sharia has given us guidelines that when a person passes away, as soon as a person passes away, his wealth, whatever he owns, land, money, etc., it is now the property of the waratha. It is now the property of the inheritors. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi, he was once, he came to visit a person who was on his deathbed. He was sick actually, and he came to visit him. And as he was sitting there, he came to realize that this person is now nearing his death. He's about to die. His illness has increased. So Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi, he thought that I was about to leave, but let me stay here for a short while, pray the kalima to this person and witness his leaving this world. Maybe my being here will assist him, inshallah. In that room, because it was night time, there was a lantern which was alight. So this person, Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi, he stayed there. And after a short while, this person left the dunya and he passed away. As soon as this person passed away, Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah, he put out this lantern. So it's pitch black now, it's dark. There's no lights in those days. So somebody from the family members said to him, "Oh Imam, what are you doing? It's pitch black, it's dark. Why have you put the lantern out?" He said that this person, this lantern belongs to him because it is in his house, in his bedroom. Until he was alive, it was his property and he's the one who turned it on, or with his permission, I may have turned it on. Now that this person has passed away, his eyes are closed, his ruh has come out of his body, this lantern now belongs to his waratha and inheritors. And it is not permissible to use the property of anyone without their permission. Look at the level of taqwa that they had. So when a person passes away, his land or whatever he owns, his money, his house, all of this is now the property of the inheritors. And it is the responsibility of the family members that they distribute this according to the rules of Sharia. And not after 1 year or 5 years or 10 years or 20 years, when the family has already broken up on the basis of this property that has been left behind by the father. They have to do this straight away. As soon as this person, not as soon as he passed away literally, but as soon as possible in the first few months when this person has passed away, everything has calmed down, they should now go to a reliable mufti and say that this person, he left behind this much cash. He left behind this many homes. Back home in India, Pakistan, or Afghanistan or whatever, he has this much land. And this is all what he has left behind. Now you tell us, how do we distribute this? If a person does not distribute this wealth properly, then the family, and especially those who are in charge in that family, they will be responsible. If we take somebody's right, if there is a person and he, for example, he's in Pakistan, his family members are here, and he takes all of the land of his father's, then this person, this land will come back to haunt him on the Day of Judgment. It is very common amongst our Asian communities that the sisters and the women folk, they are not given their right in miras. They are expected to give up their right. And people say that they already made it maaf. You know, they didn't ask for their money. Why should they have to ask for their money? It's their money. If I give somebody £100, do I have to wait for him to come and ask? If I take £100 from someone, so it's his money. I have borrowed the money from him. Am I going to say to him that, do you want your money back? I'm not going to say to him, do you want your money back? Obviously, he wants his money back. It's his money. It's his right. So I'm not going to ask him that, do you want your money back? It's his money. So you can't go to your sister or one of the women folk who are eligible for miras and ask them that, do you want your money? Because sometimes out of shame, because of cultural pressure, they say that, no, I don't want my money, it's okay. In this day and age where every person is greedy for a dollar, you tell me which person would say that, I don't want my $100,000 or $50,000 or even $100. Nobody will give their money up. So you can't just assume that they have forgiven it. They have not forgiven it. Nobody forgives their right. Nobody lets money go. People fight right to the last cent. So if we have not distributed miras correctly, and the sin of this, the effect of this is, just say for example, a person passes away and now the older son, he takes, grabs hold of everything. He doesn't give it to his younger siblings because they're too young to understand. So he has taken what is his and he has also taken what does not belong to him. Now he passes away, so obviously his children assume that he owns this whole entire empire. And they start sharing this out. So they have now become a part, they will not be sinful for this because this was their father's wrongdoing. Yes, if they know about it, then they should try and make amends for this. But if they don't know, that wealth which belonged to somebody else is coming into the property and hands of our children. Now, they may not be sinful for it, but the fact that this wealth or this money or this land that this person has and it is generating money, they will not be barakat in this. So our progenies will be void or deprived of the barakah of pure wealth because of our taking somebody's wealth without permission. This is a very, very dangerous situation. There was a person, just before I finish, he was a very pious man. He was an alim, he was a scholar, he used to teach deen. He passed away. One of his friends saw him in a dream that he is in an open barren land and the heat is intense and this person does not have clothes on. So basically he's being punished. The heat is intense in a barren land and he has no clothes on to save himself from the heat. The person asked him that, what has happened to you? You are such a pious person, you used to teach the Quran and Hadith and be punctual as far as your salah and adhkar, etc. are concerned. Why are you in this punishment? He said that, Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted all of my ibadat. But before I passed away, a few days before I passed away, I went to my neighbor's house and I borrowed a needle because I had to do some sewing. And it so happened that I passed away in a state that I did not get the chance to give this needle back to this neighbor of mine. So this was a right of somebody else that I had in my possession. Because of this, I am in this punishment. So I request you that when you wake up from your sleep, go to my house, take this needle and give it back to my neighbor. So this person, this student of his, he woke up the next morning and he went to his house. And he said that, is there a needle in so-and-so place inside this house? They said, yes. So how do you know about this? So he explained the situation to them, and then they also remembered that we knew that this needle belonged to the neighbor and we were going to give it back, but we became negligent. This happens. We take somebody's, I don't know, pair of scissors or somebody's pen or somebody's book, or we borrow something from our neighbor and we're going to give it back tomorrow, and eventually that thing becomes ours because we forget who we even took it from. Such a long time passes, and now we remember that I took this pen from someone in my class, but I can't remember who it is. So we just put it back in our pocket. This is haram. This pen doesn't belong to us. It is our responsibility to find the rightful owner to this. So this person, he went and he found this needle, and he went back to the neighbor and he gave it back to him. And he explained to him, but this is what happened. That I saw a dream at night, and so neighbor of yours, he took this needle of yours a long time ago before he passed away and he forgot to give it back. And because of this small thing, one needle, it's not even worth $1. Because of this, he's in a punishment. So the neighbor, he started to cry because he had also had a connection with this pious man, and he said that I have forgiven him. He was really concerned that because of this small thing of mine, this person is in punishment, I have forgiven him. This person, he carried out this act. The next night he went back to sleep. And in his dream, he saw that the same person he saw the night before, his condition has changed. He is in ni'mat and bounty from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he asked him that, what has happened? He said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he forgave me because of that person forgiving me whose right I had violated. So we can understand from this story how sensitive this issue is. So we have done tawbah, alhamdulillah. But if we have violated the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those rights for which we have to make up for, our qada salah, our fast that we may have broken or not kept, our fidya, our qurbani. And similarly, if we have broken the rights of any of the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have borrowed something, we have given it back, we took money of somebody, we still have to repay them, or we have taken something which is not rightfully ours, be it inheritance, be it any other thing. We have cheated somebody, we have lied to somebody, we have stolen something. We have to make sure that we give this back. Otherwise, our tawbah will not be complete. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the correct understanding and give us the tawfiq and ability to practice upon these three words. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.